for his presentation.
Well, hello everyone. It's a pleasure to be here in Istanbul. This is my third time in Turkey, and it's been wonderful every time. I really appreciate you having invited me here today. I'm also impressed by the translation wall. It's the first time I've seen that done exactly. That's pretty good. And whoever is typing that is very fast. I'm going to talk about the future of educational media, and I don't have a product to sell you. And I have perhaps some cautions and some warnings. And I want you to think about not just the cool technology. It is cool technology. I mean, right now I'm wired like a cyborg. It's really cool. I like that. And you know, we can broadcast around the world, we can make things very quickly. But I also want you to think about the larger environment in which we live, and especially the human dimension of technology. After all, we built the internet. It might be the greatest achievement in human history. It was certainly the most expensive. We spent trillions of dollars on it. And we use it to send cat photos around the world. That's the internet, but even better, that's people. And that's what makes the internet so wonderful. The inflexible law of learning kind of draws on what we just heard, kind of runs a little bit counter to what we just heard. It's when we do stuff that we learn, not when stuff does things for us. Learning happens here, right? It doesn't happen in the device. It doesn't happen on the screen. It doesn't happen on the computer. It happens here, in us. We have to do things in order to learn. And the power of our new technologies that we have today is that they allow us to do things in a way we never could before. I'm going to talk about a few of those ways we can do things. I'm going to talk about some of the futures that we can look forward to, and maybe correct a few misperceptions on the way. So here's a quick look, and I'll confess, I stole this list from Contact North. Contact North is an organization that works in Canada, in Northern Ontario, in fact, that's the province where I live. And they came out recently with a list of new technologies. I spent the day yesterday analyzing this list and wrote my review of them. And these slides will be available after, so you'll be fine. So I want to look at each of these in turn. So let's look at machine learning and artificial intelligence. The story that we are being told about the future of online learning is that intelligent computers will give us adaptive learning. What is adaptive learning? Adaptive learning is when computers find material for you and present it to you based on what you've done. It's like branching logic or loop logic. You try your test, you fail, it shows you the same material again, you try it again, and so on. But I think that artificial intelligence and machine learning will go far beyond that. What's really interesting about this technology is that it's not a device for presenting content to you. It's a device for thinking about different concepts and different ideas. It's a way of creating an environment in which you learn. This is a site here called Code Academy. Code Academy is a place where you learn to program computers. That's a lot harder than making one of those videos that we just saw. Programming a computer, you have to roll up your sleeves, you have to work in little tiny text and tell your computer exactly what it should do. Code Academy creates a virtual computer for you where you can write your code and see the results right away. There are, in fact, three major types of artificial intelligence. Well, to be honest, there are more than three. But here are three that are worth thinking about for a few moments. Decision engines that are expert systems that help you make decisions based on rules that are applied to a data model. Basically, these are engines that have knowledge all codified for you and rules that express the things you know about that knowledge. Change the rule, you change the decision. Pattern recognition systems work the way the human brain works. They have perceptual devices like cameras, perhaps, or audio, or text input, and they detect patterns in the phenomena. Patterns that might really exist, or patterns that the machine just thinks exist. Play around with the parameters, and you get different patterns. And it teaches you that a lot of what we think of, that we see in the world, is actually a way in which we are interpreting the world. And you think about the different ways you interpret the world by playing with this technology. Cluster detection is a mechanism for finding groups out of large numbers of entities. If I look here in the crowd, for example, if I ignore the people who are leaving, I can draw a group here, and a group here, and a group here. How did my brain do that? How do you do that? You know, you look around this room, you can actually see six really distinct groups. It's a miracle of cognition. Playing with the parameters of cluster detection tells you how your brain works to detect things in the environment, and that makes you better at detecting things in the environment. It's the doing, not the watching, that helps you learn. We hear a lot about handheld mobile computing. The Apple guy was talking about a person with an iPhone and iPad and a laptop, just for the record. Android. Samsung. The future of learning is not in the mobile phone, it's not in mobile devices. The earlier presentation from Intel gives you a better idea, but it's not the future. This actually exists. It's a tennis racket. It's got electronics in it, and you can see the little USB port at the end here. This tennis racket analyzes your swing and gives you feedback about how you're playing tennis. You know what's really important about how this thing works? You have to swing it. It doesn't work unless you swing it. But what's really interesting here is the idea that learning and learning technology will be integrated into everyday things. We saw a video of somebody looking at stuff on a hand. I was thinking about that when I saw that, and I was thinking, well, if he's looking at stuff on his hand, he can't use his hand. And so now he only has one hand. We want learning integrated into the devices that we're using. Learning analytics. We talk about predictive analytics. These are mechanisms we see in learning management systems. that tell us, for example, whether a person is going to fail a course. And I can tell you if they're going to fail a course without learning analytics. If they do the work, they'll probably pass. If they don't do the work, they'll probably fail. I think we all know that already. The learning analytics actually gets the concept wrong. It doesn't matter whether a person finishes the course. What matters is in the feedback that they get while they're doing whatever it is that they're trying to do. I think that the future of learning isn't so much in the area of learning analytics and seeing how you do in online courses with professors and all that. I think it has much more to do with what is sometimes called the quantified self. This is an actual walk I took around the city the other day. I started here, I went to the Grand Bazaar, I went to the Hagia Sophia, the Blue Mosque, etc. Typical tourist. But I was able to see that I walked for 13 kilometers or so. It took me 3 hours. I burned 1,500 calories. 1,500 calories that I really needed to burn. It can tell me what my elevation gain was. And what's really important is it encourages me to go out and do it again. Now, learning is like fitness, right? And you have to get out there and do it. We talk about the Internet of Things, the idea that all of your devices will know what you're doing. Let's think about that for a second. I don't even like it when my wife knows what I'm doing. I don't want all of my devices to know what I'm doing, especially if all of my devices are going to turn around and report on what I'm doing to the insurance company, or to the government, or to my employer, or whomever, right? What's going to be really important about the Internet of Things and about learning technology in general is the establishment of an environment of permission. The establishment of an environment where the data that you give up is data you are giving up willingly. And I mean genuinely willingly, not you must do this in order to get a job. It's data that you are exchanging as fair value for some sort of service. I will tell Runkeeper where I've gone. Runkeeper will deliver to me analytics and a nice map. That's a fair trade. Games, simulation, virtual reality. We've seen a number of examples of these already. These will be important things in the future of learning, but let's understand that it's not all one big concept. There's doing it wrong and doing it right. Doing it wrong, to my mind, is gamification. Gamification is when you add points to things, or game-like elements to things. It's like turning learning into Jeopardy. We saw the little video, I forget which one it was, I think it was Intel, with the butterfly that landed on his arm and now he can't use his arm. And a quiz pops up. And I was over there, I'm thinking, that's just wrong. Right? Because now you're turning this great experience of looking at a butterfly from this far. How often does that happen? And you have to answer a quiz. Like, it's suddenly become something competitive. Competition, points, things like that are not the way of the future. What is the way of the future is what they're calling serious games. I don't really like the name. But what that refers to are immersive environments where you have challenges, not competition so much. I used to play pinball a lot. I love pinball. And the thing about pinball is, yeah, you can play against other people, but you're never really playing against other people. You're always playing the machine. And ultimately, you're playing against yourself, trying to improve your own score. That makes more sense. But what's beautiful about pinball, I don't know how many of you remember pinball, there must have been pinball here, it is so immersive, especially the old machines where everything is mechanical and it's a whole body experience to play pinball. Serious games, what they're up to is trying to draw the person into an immersive environment and get them to believe that what they're doing is actually addressing whatever problem they're trying to solve. An aircraft simulation is an excellent example. It's far better to put people into an airplane simulation to do crash rescue instead of putting them in a real airplane crash to try crash rescue. Far better. Translation. Oh, here, that's not a machine, is it? Are you a machine? Answer me. So let's hear it for human translation. So we hear over and over and over again that the future of learning is interaction and collaboration. Interaction is really cold, right? You interact with a bank machine, right? Give me money, hold me. And collaboration, therefore everybody gets together and works on the same thing, whether they want to or not. That's not the future. Oh yeah, we still need communication technologies. But we need communication technologies with a human face. And we need communication technologies in order to cooperate. There's a big difference between collaboration and cooperation. Cooperation is an exchange between equals rather than an employer-servant kind of relation, which is typical in collaboration. Cooperation, in the case of cooperation, different people have different objectives. I might want to learn about Aristotle. You might want to learn about Plato. But we realize that by sharing an environment, we can each learn the different things that we want to learn. Cooperation is where people find value in sharing and exchanging resources with each other. So let's think about what learning becomes with this new technology. I haven't been to this side of the stage yet, so I thought I'd give it a try. Well, I think there are three things that we don't usually see in the technology talks that are really important. First is context sensitivity. Second is engagement. And third is personal learning. Context sensitivity really matters. People talk about learning anywhere, anytime. Learning is a lot like water. You want water when you want it. You want water to be available in the pipes or in the little bottles and all of that. But you don't want water where you don't want it. Like, I don't want water on the stage here. That would be very inconvenient. It's the same thing with learning. If I'm in an airplane trying to land the airplane, what I do not need is a two-week class in how to land an airplane. What I need is a checklist. And so the learning system that I'm using has to be aware that I'm in an airplane, not a classroom. So when I say learning will be like water or electricity, it will be available everywhere. Look at this room, there's water, water over there, but there's electricity everywhere, and each of you has your own personal source of electricity. but it's also more like text. Every place we need it, there's text. There's text here, there's text, Turkish text over there. There's text on these chairs here that nobody's sitting in. It says protocol. There's text on the walls over there and on the back. Everywhere we need to know something in this environment, there's text. In the future, everywhere we need to know something, there will be learning. But there's a big difference between text you want and unwanted text. The unwanted text we call advertising, and we try to avoid it as much as we can. Same thing with learning. There's a distinction between learning that is actually useful and learning that is unwanted advertising. Engagement. I read something the other day. If you're worried about engaging your students, you're doing it wrong. Engagement results from two factors. First of all, we want to be there. One of the best things about my talks, I've always said, and we're proving it today, you can leave. You don't have to be here. And that's half of engagement, right there. And in learning of the future, it will be about people learning what they want to learn. That's how we produce the necessary engagement in order to learn. And then the second part, you have to believe that you're there. That's why an in-person event like this works so well. You believe you're here because you really are here. It's easy to believe that you're here. But in a lot of learning, it's really hard to be there. And the trick to engagement is getting people to put themselves in that mental frame of mind where they're thinking as though they really were in that environment. I play video games a lot, way too much. And when I play a video game and I'm doing something and then something happens, there's this sort of like chill that comes over me. You know, I see the alien for the first time or something like that. That's engagement. That's the belief that I'm really there. That's what we want to get, that little chill feeling in learning. But you never get that if you have to force people to sit in the chair. Learning, ultimately, is personal. This is where we are headed. The idea of people taking a class all together, the idea of people enrolling in a program, the idea of people studying for a master's degree or a bachelor of science, these things are going to go away. And what is going to result is learning that is based on personal needs and interests. And notice the contrast. This is what you're being sold by the technology companies. Learning is personalized. It's about the content. And we will use adaptive learning to give you the right content. And you will practice this content over and over until you get it right and fulfill the requirements. And then we will test you and test you. And we will see a knowledge gap. And we will correct you. And we'll go back to content and do it again until you get it right. That's the model of learning technology you are being sold. That is the wrong model. The learner is completely passive here. The learner is not engaged. Here is the correct model. And yes, like we'll make a value judgment here. You begin by trying to do something you want to do. I want to dance, like the dancers we saw. When you're not exactly like them. I want to learn to play chess. I want to study the Roman Empire. I try. I fail. But it's okay. Failure brings opportunity. And I find help that allows me to learn why I failed. And maybe somebody out there helps me. It gives me an opportunity to try again. And I try again. And maybe I get a bit better. I get a bit better, and I get a bit better, and I learn. And ultimately, I succeed at doing what I'm trying to do. That is learning. It's a really big difference, right? Here, learning is defined by, you will know this content. Here, learning is defined by, you will succeed in the goals or objectives in your life. Think about which model of learning you would want if you had the choice. So, over the years I've been working on personal learning architecture. These are some of the major technologies that will be involved. Everything from personal identity to community to resource production, rights, etc. And with this comes a new institutional perspective on learning. An institutional perspective that is based more on cooperation rather than management. We don't do things to people, either in education or the company. We do things with people. We are cooperating. We don't think about motivating people. We try to find out what people already want to and are able to do and work with that. Knowledge sharing is your job in every job. I could go on about this for a long time. If you work in any job in the future, sharing your work, sharing your knowledge and your processes openly will be a part of your job. Very bad news for publishers, very good news for society. And work needs to provide opportunities for autonomy and mastery. Work needs to be a learning experience as well as a productivity experience. People ask, how will people know whether anyone has learned in this new model? Well, we're using this, a social network, a work environment, simulation, some kind of place, public place, in order to develop the learning that happens in here, in our head. And we do that by doing things here. And in that process, we change. We become something different than we were. Really important to understand. Learning is not about acquiring content. It's about changing the structure of our brain. Literally. It's not a metaphor. This is exactly what happens. That's why it takes practice. That's why we have to do it ourselves. Because nobody can reach into your brain and start tweaking things. That would be very bad if that happened. And your knowledge is expressed functionally. It's not that you know a whole bunch of facts about geography. It's that you become a geographer. That's very dark. There, that's dark. How do we recognize when learning has happened? Well, remember, the learning took place here, and then we perform in an environment, in a social network, in a simulation, in a workplace, and we can see how we actually perform, and that's how we evaluate learning. When doing and learning are part and parcel of the same thing, we don't need tests and evaluations anymore. So we have a new model of work and learning. A model where sharing and linking are fundamental activities in everything we do. a model where contributing becomes an obligation and a responsibility. And a model where we work cooperatively and co-create, each of us contributing value and each of us receiving value. That's all I have to say for today. And I thank you for your time and your kind attention.
I want to thank you for your inspiring talk, and we made a donation to come to the Children Who Have Cancer Foundation, and this is our small gift. Thank you. If you want to ask questions to Stephen Downs, you can also, we also have questions and answers session. You can go there. Thank you. And we will be back at 11:15, and we have limited seats for the session, for the workshop. Each session only has 25 seats.
Because I mean, the whole culture of schools, the test systems, yeah, the parents' expectations, what the principal has to deal with all the stakeholders around him, push them in one direction, and it's a very, very long process. It's a very long process to open people's minds up to the possibility of doing things in a different way. But I really appreciated you. It gave me a lot of motivation to keep doing what I do, because I work all around this area of the world in many, many different countries. Okay? So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes. Enjoy your stay in the school.
Nice meeting you. Yes. No, I have to go to my computer first.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
To turn it off.
Thank you. I'll give you
the video ended because the connection was lost. I wonder when that happened. Oh well.
But we were able to see everything, so it should be.
Yeah.